want to begin by expressing our Hakarsa Tov to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Baruch Hashem, I think for many of us this is not the first year together. Baruch Hashem, for the last 6 years, many of us have had the opportunity to get together and to daven together and to bring in the Yom Noram in a way that's, wouldn't say is the only group that davens this way in the world, but something very unique and very special about the way that we daven. And to come together once again to see so many people coming together for the same goal of Kirvas Elokus, of coming to a place of closeness to a Kadosh Baruch Hu and closeness to one another, it's an awesome schus, and it's not something I think we take for granted. And I want to begin just by expressing for all of us our Karsa Tov to Kadosh Baruch Hu for allowing us to be together once again. Of course, B'nai Yeshurun's been kind enough and generous enough to open up their newly refurbished, redecorated social hall. And I want to thank Rabbi Przanski and Rabbi Zatz and the entire board and the many lay leaders who allowed us to be here and to make this happen. I want to thank, and I have a little bit of a charata that I haven't thanked them in the past. I want to thank TABC for every year lending us their Slichos booklets. It wouldn't be possible for us to daven together without it. And I want to thank Neil Bodner for arranging that they should be here tonight. And of course, last but not least, I want to thank the extended Chevra. Baruch Hashem, we started off as a small group in a basement many years ago. And Baruch Hashem, I think that I can really say in a sincere way that while not everyone in the room knows one another, there's a feeling of achdus in the room. There's a feeling of connection in the room. And unfortunately, or I guess maybe fortunately in a sense, I've had the opportunity in recent times to daven a little more slowly. Spend more time davening b'yachidus. And one of the things that I've had the opportunity to incorporate into my davening is the tefillah of Rabbi Elimelech Lezhensk, which is printed at the beginning of many siddurim, certainly Nusach Svart siddurim. And it's amazing, you look at the end of the tefillah, you look at the Rebbe writes at the end of the tefillah. He says, Tashpia aleinu me'olam atshuva tamid hiur lashuve lecha b'leiv shalim. He writes at the end of the tefillah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should send down a hashpa of tshuva, hirurei tshuva, that we should return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'leiv shalim u'latakin es asher pagamnu b'shmoseach HaKadoshim v'ataor, to be in a constant state of tikkun. This was not a tefillah that was written for the Yom Noram, it wasn't written for Elul. It's a tefillah that the Rebbe wrote that every day when a person wants to enter into that world of tefillah, that he begins by davening Kadosh Baruch Hu, send me hirurei tshuva. What to me is so fascinating is what the Rebbe writes in the very next line. What does the tzaddik write in the very next line? How does a person come into that gate, that world of tshuva? The Rebbe writes in the very next line. V'tzatzilenu mekinas ish mere'eyu v'lo yala kinas adam alibenu v'lo kinasinu alacher. The way to come to that state of tshuva, it's not by chance that the Rebbe puts it there. The way to come to a state of tshuva is that a Jew has to be able to mekasher himself to his fellow Jew. To look at a fellow Jew and to not look at a fellow Jew with any kinna, with any feelings, any harsh feelings towards one another. Adarab, the famous word, adarab. Tein bilibenu shenira kol echad malas chaverinu. To be able to look at every single Jew that we look at and to see only their milos. And nachas v'shalom lo chesronam. That the gateway to tshuva, the ticket to tshuva, is dafka Jews who are able to look at one another in the right way. Not self-centered Jews, not Jews who only come to the Yom Noram davening for themselves, but Jews who are able to look at these days as days of Klal Yisrael, as Yemei Ratzon for Klal Yisrael, and to have a Klal Yisrael perspective, to see the milos of one another, not chas v'shalom, the chesronos of one another. And again, I think if there's one thing that defines this chevra, and I know the chevra has grown, and not everyone knows everyone else in the room, but I think if there's one thing, if there's one common denominator that I really feel that this sibur, and it really is a sibur, that this sibur really has, it's this tefillah of Rabbi Elimelech Lezhensk. It's tshuva mitoch achva, and tshuva mitoch achdus and ava, mitoch simcha. Tshuva from a place of connection, of closeness. Yom tshuva, the Sfarim say, tshuva is a lashon of reyes. That a person comes to Rosh Hashanah from a state of reyes, from a state of achdus, a state of ava for Klal Yisrael. I want to begin with a maisa that I heard many years ago from Moshe Weinberger Shlita. It's an amazing maisa, and I know many people here are very much connected to the Mashpia. It's a story about the Baal Tanya. I'm sure if we try to picture what it was like to be in the court of the Baal Tanya during these days, the tefillah, the shofar, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, the tshuva, the awesome avodah of the Baal HaTanya. It's hard to imagine such a thing. They tell him, Isa, that one Yom Kippur, the Baal HaTanya, in the middle of the avodah, in the middle of the davening, in the middle of the tzumo shayom, the intensity of the day, the Baal HaTanya all of a sudden let out this scream. He cried out in the middle of the davening. The Baal HaTanya was a passionate individual, but it was a cry, it was different. It was different than the Hasidim had heard before. And they rushed over to the Baal HaTanya, they were worried something was wrong. They ran immediately over to the Rebbe. They said, Rebbe, what's wrong? What is it? What was the cry? And the Rebbe looks up at them with tears in his eyes and he says, "Oy." He says, I was thinking, you know how a Jew has to do tshuva on Yom Kippur? You know how a person has to come to tshuva? A person has to do tshuva like the guy in Vitebsk. Person needs to do tshuva like the guy in Vitebsk. And the Baal HaTanya pulled his talis over his head. And that was it. Went back to his tefillos. Needless to say, the Hasidim were a little perplexed. Like the guy in Vitebsk. What's the pshat, the guy in Vitebsk? And everyone went back to the davening. And after Yom Kippur, they sent one of the elder Hasidim to ask the Baal HaTanya for a parish. What's the pshat? Who's this guy in Vitebsk? This non-Jew from Vitebsk, from the city of Vitebsk? So the Baal HaTanya explained as follows. He says, everyone knows that Vitebsk is divided by a river. The city itself is divided by two sides. And there's a river that runs through the middle. Nowadays, there's a bridge to get from one side to the other. Once upon a time, there was only a river. And if you wanted to do business, as many people did, on the other side of the river, a person had to take a boat across the river. One time, there was this horrible storm in Vitebsk. And this chevra of businessmen, these non-Jewish businessmen who always got together, they decided collectively, as painful as it was difficult for them to pass up the opportunity to travel to do their business. But they felt to cross the river in the middle of this storm was too dangerous. There was one individual from this chevra who decided, I'm going, I don't care what anyone else says, I'm going to cross the river. And they warned them, it's dangerous, you're crazy, you're out of your mind, for a couple of ruble, kopeck, whatever they were dealing with. It's not worth it. And he said, I'm going, I have to go. I'm not passing up the business. And his friends discouraged him. They're standing there, drenched on the shore, at the edge of the river. And this fellow climbs into his boat with confidence and stubbornly decides, I'm crossing the river. And they watch him as he starts to make his way across the river. And at first, you know, he's steering the boat. He's managing along. And as he's about halfway across the river, the winds are picking up. And the waves are tossing and turning. And suddenly the boat is capsized. And they see their dear friend, this businessman, tossed into the water. And they see him bobbing his head under the water, above the water. And they're crying, they're screaming on the shores. There's nothing they can do to help him. And they see Rahman al-Islam, their poor friend, he drowns. He drowns in the middle of the river. And the Baal HaTanya turns to this elder chassid on Motzei Yom Kippur and he says to him, can you imagine what this fellow was feeling as the boat went down? Can you imagine the feelings he had when he realized what was happening to him? How much regret he was filled with as he realized, how did I not listen to my friends? How did I not take their advice? How could I be so foolish to throw away everything for a couple of rubles, a couple of kopeck? I can't imagine such a thing. Again, the Baal HaTanya didn't have to explain any further. How does a Jew come to these days? How does a Jew do tshuva during the days of the Yom Noram? Like the guy in Vitebsk. And if we haven't woken up yet, if the shofar hasn't woken us up yet, if we haven't yet felt that feeling of shame, of disgust with ourselves, that disappointment with ourselves, for not listening to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, for not taking the advice of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, tonight is the night as the Yom Noram officially begin. Halacha says that tonight is officially the start of the Yom Noram. It's the time where we start asking ourselves, why didn't I listen to the Ribbono Shel Olam? Why didn't I use my better judgment? Why did I steer my boat, so to speak, into those dangerous waters time and time again? As we say in the Tefillah tonight, V'lanu boshes upon him. We're so ashamed. We're so embarrassed of the choices that we made. And most of us feel like that poor Jew, like that poor fellow in Vitebsk. Like the guy in Vitebsk as his boat's going down. The choice is made and there's nothing we can do about it. The decisions that we made throughout the year, the choices have been made and there's nothing we could do to right that boat. And to correct those misguided decisions. But imagine, if you will, for a second. Imagine now if suddenly, as the boat is overturned, as a person finds himself in the frigid water, imagine if suddenly out of nowhere a rope appears, a hand reaches out and somehow plucks this poor fellow out of the water. Can you imagine how thankful a person would be? And for this non-Jew, for this fellow from Vitebsk who found himself in that frigid water in the middle of that cold afternoon or evening, right? The scenario is unrealistic. There was nothing they could do to help him. But chas v'shalom, we should go into these days thinking the same thing about ourselves. Chas v'shalom, to think that there's not a rope, that there's not a hand, that there's not something reaching out to pull us in. At the very end of the entire process, we come to the Ne'ilah. The vidui of Ne'ilah. Mamish, the end of the entire Yom Naram process. And we say in the Vidur of Nila, Ata Nosin Yad Leposhim V'Yamincha Pshuta L'Kavol Shafim. That Mamish, in the final seconds, as the gates are closing, as the gates are slamming closed, as they have one last chance to reach out to their Rebbeinu Shel Olam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm here for you. As the waters are raging around you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu extends His hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, lowers down that rope to us, and He says, please, grab on. Ata Nosin Yad Leposhim V'Yamincha Pshuta, your right hand is outstretched, L'Kavol Shafim. For anyone who wants to grab on, a person should have tremendous confidence. If that's true by Ne'ilah, we should think, coming into tonight, we still have so many days, another week of Elul, a couple more days of Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Aser Yisrael, Tshuva, Yom Kippur, there's plenty of time. There's plenty of time for a person to correct the wrong. And we should have a certain confidence that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to save us. And yet, many of us come into tonight, and I was talking to someone, Mamish, just a few minutes ago, we come into tonight feeling a lack of confidence. We come into tonight asking ourselves the question, but how many times am I going to steer my boat into those wrong waters? And how many times against the advice of the Torah, and against the advice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and against the advice of our Rebbeim, and against the advice of our parents, and against the advice of our friends, how many times do I decide for something that's so not worth it, that we're going to take that risk, that we're going to steer our boat into those dangerous waters? Or to say it maybe more directly, we ask ourselves, with a lack of confidence, we come to this night and we ask ourselves, how many more times can we expect HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give us a chance? Year after year we come, and we get together, and we daven slichos, and a little ashamnu, and a little bagadnu, and all of these promises, and new kabbalos, and we're going to be different, we're going to be better this year. And then year after year, we go back on those kabbalos. We keep it maybe for a short period of time, and then it doesn't last. And as we grow older, and we get used to this process, every year this whole process of tshuva, we start to become cynical. And we start to question, does it really work? What's the point? Every single year I promise the Kadosh Baruch Hu it's going to be different this year. I'm going to change something. We start to doubt ourselves. And we start to doubt the koach of tshuva. And we start to lose faith, chas v'shalom, even the Rebbeinu Shel Olam himself. As we ask ourselves, what's the point of trying if the pattern of our life is so clearly established? And that's dafka what I want to talk about for the little bit of time that we have together before Slichus. That a Jew has to believe, and every single one of us, as we begin the Yom Naram together, have to believe wholeheartedly that HaKadosh Baruch Hu extends that rope to us each and every year. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu extends His hand to us each and every year. And no matter how many times I've chosen the wrong choice, no matter how many times I foolishly entered into those dangerous waters, time and time again, against my better judgment, to believe wholeheartedly that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is interested in bringing us back, and to pick ourselves up again and again and again, and to believe that dafka, the Jew is able to pick himself up when he's fallen again and again and again. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a special nachas ruach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a special plague, kivyachol, in his heart, for such a Jew who has the confidence and the courage to pick himself up time and time again. There's an amazing Gemara, I'm sure many of us are familiar with it, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, and after Zayinim Alf and Zayinim Bez. The Gemara is discussing the tekiyos of Rosh Hashanah. And the Gemara wants to understand, why is it that we blow the shofar more than one time? The Gemara says, Lama tokinu mariyin kashein yoshvin. Why do we have a tekiyah and a trua when we're seated? V'tokinu mariyin kashein omdin. And then we have a tekiyah a second time, during the Amida, classically, historically, dafka during the Shmona Esrei of Musaf, the shofar was blown. Some kehilas still do it that way. Many people have the tekiyos during the Chazar Sashat of Musaf. But why is it that you have tekiyos when people are seated? Again, our practice is to stand, that have covered for the tekiyos. But technically, the tekiyos that we blow before the Musaf. A person could be seated, a person could be in his seat, and then dafka token of Aryan Kishay and Omdin, and then we blow the tekiyos the second time, the trua a second time when people stand up. And the Gemara answers, a famous answer, Kedei la'arvev ha-satan. In order to confuse the satan, to trick the satan. What's the pshat to trick the satan? How do we trick the satan? Every year we trick the satan. What's the pshat? Aruch l'ner, many achronim are very curious. What exactly is the trick? What exactly is the confusion of the satan? So the Baal Yatosos on the spot write the following. Kedei la'arvev ha-satan, perish ba'aruch, kedisa b'yushalmi, bila ha-mavis la'netzach. Yeshaya Navi tells us that a time is going to come. It's hard to imagine after everything we've been through, but a time is going to come where eventually the Satan, who's the same as the Yetzirah, who's the same as the Malach HaMavis, Bila HaMavis LaNetzach. It'll be the end of death. It'll be the end of the Kochos Hara. The Satan, the Yetzirah, will lose his strength. And he writes, Yeshaya tells us two prakim later, Perachav Zayin, V'haya b'yomahu yitaka b'shofar gadol. That on that great day, when the Satan loses his koach, when the Satan, when the one who's responsible for all the death and all the destruction, he himself is put to death. That's going to take place with the sounding of the great shofar. You talk about shofar gadol. Says Tosfos, Kat shama kal shipur zim nechada. When the satan hears the first shofar blast, bahil v'lo bahil. He's a little bit afraid. He's scared, but he's not so scared. V'kad shama tinyan, but when he hears it a second time, Omar, the Satan says to himself, V'adai zeu shipura di yitaka b'shofar gadol. The second shofar bless. T'kios de mu'umad. The shofar, when the Jews stand up, the shofar of the Shemona Esrei, that must be. The first shofar is a little bit afraid. The second shofar, V'adai. V'adai, that's the shofar of Gula. That's the shofar that puts an end to everything the Satan stands for. Umata zimne limisbala. And Bila Mavas Lanetzach has arrived. The time for the end of the Satan has arrived. Umisarvev, and he's petrified, he's scared, but Lesle Panay Lamevit Kategoria. And he's not able to be Makater against Klal Yisrael. The Kategor is done, he has nothing to say for Klal Yisrael. He's too worried about himself to petition before Kadosh Baruch Hu against Klal Yisrael. What's the pshat in this Tosfos? The first shofar blast scare him a little bit. But the second shofar blast, the tekiyos the mu'umad shake the sultan to his core. That's when he gives up. That's when he realizes it's all over. What does it mean on a deeper level? What's the pshat with the second tekiyos? So I once heard a pshat. It was alluded to. It wasn't said clearly, but I think this was the yesod. When the sultan sees Jews who are seated in their seats, so to speak, a Jew has been knocked off his feet. A Jew is forced to sit down. A Jew has lost his strength to stand up tall and to confront the sultan head on. And the sultan sees that such a Jew, as he's collapsing, as he's falling, with a shofar in his hand, he's blowing the shofar, he's sounding the shofar. The sultan says about such a Jew, I'm not so frightened. I'm not so afraid. He sees the Jew in his descent. He sees the Jew stumbling, he's reeling, he can't catch himself. He stumbles into his seat. About such an individual, the sultan says, Bo of Allah, I'll keep my eye on him. But I have the upper hand. But when that same sultan sees only a few moments later that Jew has been knocked off his feet, that Jew has been sent into a seated position, picks himself up once again with that shofar in his hand, and he stands up tall to the sultan, who's knocked him down so many times, and he stands up and he sounds once again the shofar. You talk of a shofar gadol. Bila mavas lenetzach. The sultan says, such a Jew is geuladik. A Jew has the courage to pick himself up when he's been knocked down so many times. A Jew stands up to the tekiyos de mu'umad, dafka on the heels of the tekiyos de mi'ushav. About such a Jew, the sultan says, such a spirit of Klal Yisrael, the sultan realizes is not so easily stamped out. And I think that's what Chazal are alluding to when they say in the Gemara, the famous Gemara in Brachos and Daf Lamed Daled, Makum Shabali Tshuva Omdin, the place that the Baal Tshuva stands, Tzadikim Gemorim Einam Omdin. Only a person who's been knocked down so many times. Only a Jew who wonders if that rope, if that hand is going to appear one more time. Only a Jew from such a place who has the confidence and the courage to believe that yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to pick me up one more time. And I'm going to pick myself up one more time. Only such a Jew has the koach to scare off the satan, to have the courage to pick himself up, to rise to a place of geula, of yitaka b'shofar gadol, to pick himself up once again. They say a famous maisa, the Rebbe Reb Zusha. Rebbe Reb Zusha every year returned to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam during these days, during the Mei Ratzon. And he said, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, this year Zusha is really going to do tshuva. This year Zusha is really going to... And Rebbeinu Shel Olam, if you taina that Zusha told you the same thing last year, and he told you the same thing the year before, and he told you the same thing the year before, but Rebbeinu Shel Olam, this year Zusha really means it. This year Zusha is really going to do tshuva. I don't have to be malamit zchus on the tzidkus of the Rebbe Reb Zusha. Everyone knows the stories of the Rebbe Reb Zusha. But I think for us, it's a good story. To say to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, this year, tonight, starting tonight, I'm really going to do tshuva. You'll tell me, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, I promised you the same thing last year. And I promised you the same thing the year before. And I promised you the same thing the year before. But this year, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, I really mean it. To say it, and for us to mean it. And it takes courage. To kios the mu'umad. That a Jew picks himself up. And he believes in the kalach of tshuva. That tshuva goes much, much farther than anything we could ever imagine. Let's learn a sugya from Sefer Shemos. Very, very strange sugya in Sefer Shemos. Klal Yisrael is in Mitzrayim, 210 years. I don't have to review this, everyone knows. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes makos, 10 awesome makos, shakes up the entire world. And Klal Yisrael are finally free. The Jewish people march off into the Midbar. And all of a sudden, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, tell Klal Yisrael to turn back towards Pi Achiros. To turn around. You can imagine, we just left. We're turning back around. And of course, this is part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's master plan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's planning that Parah should get all excited and chase after Klal Yisrael, and I'll be able to finish off the Mitzrayim by the Yam. But you can imagine, in that moment, Klal Yisrael are terrified. We just left Mitzrayim. We're going back. We're turning back in the direction of Pi Achiros. And when Parah hears the news, he's so excited. Shmos Perek Yudali Pasuk Gimel. All of a sudden, Parah hears the news. He's so excited. And he says such a strange thing. The Pasuk says such a strange thing. V'omar Parah levnei Yisrael, nevuchim ba'aretz, sagar aleihem hamidbar. Paro says to Bnei Yisrael, look, Klal Yisrael, they're trapped in the Midbar, they're all confused, they have no way out, and now's my chance. Now I'm going to get them and bring them back once and for all. What's so strange about the pasuk? I'll read it again. Va'omar Paro libnei Yisrael. Paro says to Bnei Yisrael, Klal Yisrael is trapped in the Midbar, and I'm going to catch them. I'm going to bring them back. What's so strange? What's so strange is that Klal Yisrael is no longer by Paro. Who's Paro talking to? Va'omar Paro libnei Yisrael. So say, Moshe, say, don't be such an Amaretz. Go read Rashi. So Rashi says, Unkelis says, many of the Rishonim say, what does it mean, Va'amar Paro libnei Yisrael? Amar Paro libnei Yisrael means Va'amar Paro al bnei Yisrael. Paro said about bnei Yisrael. Paro said about bnei Yisrael. Hey, they're trapped in the Midbar, and now's my chance. Okay, that's what Rashi brings. Rashi brings some proofs to this from other places in Tanakh. Unkelis seems to say the same thing. But I'm sure most of us, we would have read the pasuk when we did read the pasuk. Va'amar Paro libnei Yisrael. Paro spoke to bnei Yisrael. So, in our simplicity, In our innocence, we would have translated, Paro said to Bnei Yisrael. Paro spoke to Bnei. Who is he speaking to? Is it possible that Bnei Yisrael were still in Mitzrayim? Were there members of Klal Yisrael still in Mitzrayim? Targum Yonasan ben Uziel says a remarkable thing. Targum Yonasan ben Uziel says, yes, there were some Jews who were still in Mitzrayim. Two Jews exactly. Two rebellious Jews who decided to stay in Mitzrayim. That after everything they had seen, the open miracles they had seen with their own eyes, they had seen a Kodesh Baruch Hu stand, they had seen Nisim and Aflos, they decided, we're still not confident in the Kodesh Baruch Hu. We're not confident in Klal Yisrael. And we feel safer in the presence of Paro. Who were those two Jews? Says Targum Yonasan, an amazing revelation. Those two Jews were none other than Dasan and Aviram. Dasan and Aviram, the infamous troublemakers through Jewish history, who time and time again are challenging authority, are starting up with Klal Yisrael and its leaders, starting up with the Rabbona Sholem. Dasan and Aviram. These were the two Jews who Paro, Amar Paro Lebnei Yisrael, you're speaking to Dasan and Aviram. Very strange. Chazal don't have any reservations when they describe the rishus of Dasan Vavir. They're not at all ashamed to pin everything on Dasan Vavir. We know from Chazal and the Gemara and Brachos that the name, a person's name, that's given to a person, Baruch HaKodesh, at the time of his birth or at his bris, at her birth, the name that a person is given is the essence of that person. So Chazal and the Gemara and Sanhedrin say, what do the names Dasan and Avir actually mean? Sanhedrin Kuf Tesamid Beis. Dasan was called Dasan. She'over al Daskel. Dasan was called Dasan because he was in violation. He rejected the Das, right? Dalit Tov. He rejected the religion of God. He rejected the law of God. He wasn't interested in anything God had to offer. She'over al Daskel. The Ben Ish Chai says Dasan is Dat Nun. That religion by him was in a state of Nun, a state of Nefilah. It was farfallen. It was lost. Total rejection of religion. Not interested in God. Aviram says the Gemara. She'iver atzma me'asos tshuva. Rashi uses a nusach, a girsa, she'iver levavo, that he hardened his heart. Aviram hardened his heart from doing tshuva. No interest in tshuva. Not interested in the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Dasan and Aviram, this inseparable pair, were a pair of individuals who rejected a Kadosh Baruch Hu, rejected tshuva, who wanted nothing to do. They felt more comfortable with Paro than they felt with Klal Yisrael. And that's why time and again throughout the Torah, they reject the authority of Moshe Rabbeinu. They nearly get Moshe Rabbeinu killed. That's how this whole thing begins in Shmos Parak Beis, when they inform against Moshe Rabbeinu. They challenge the authority by Adas Korach of Moshe and Aaron. They reject the Kodesh Baruch Hu. They keep over the man in rejection of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And time and time again, Targum Yonasan ben Uziel says, they were the ones who stayed in Mitzrayim. After everything that everyone had seen, was so postured to Klal Yisrael, eager to get out, already from the first Makkah, after 10 Makkos, they're still not convinced. And therefore, Chazal say, if you wonder, how did Targum Yonasan know? It says that some Bnei Yisrael has left in Mitzrayim. How did Targum Yonasan know that it's Dafka, Dasan, Va'avirim? Chazal give us a klal in the Medrash Yalkut Shimoni and Shemos. A general rule. How do we assess Dasan Va'aviram? Kol ma sha'ata yachol litlos b'risham halalu? Whatever you can pin on these individuals, pin on them. Any rishus? Any negativity? Anything that anytime you see that there's an unnamed individual in the Torah is causing trouble, you can assume it's Dasan Va'aviram. That's the character, that's the nature. These were great-grandchildren of Yaakov Avinu. Great-great-grandchildren of Yaakov Avinu. And yet, time and time again, Chazal say, no, they're the ones. So if we were to look through Jewish history, the annals of Jewish history, and we were to try to identify two Jews, our own brothers, who were not worthy of tshuva, who had lost the opportunity for tshuva, who had gone too far, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, forget you, that there's no chance you're going to be redeemed, it's Dafka Dasan Vavir. And if you'll say, how do you know for sure? It's not my own assertion, it's the Ruach Haim HaKadosh. The Ruach Haim HaKadosh writes in Parshas Korach, listen to his words. V'sover ani, Ruach Haim HaKadosh. So over Ani, this is what I say, says the Ruach Haim HaKadosh. Ki anoshim ha-rasham ha-eila einam b'chlal adas korach, shenemar aleim morid sha'ol v'ya'al. The Gemara in Masechah Sanhedrin, Kuf Chesam Aleph, has a machlokas whether or not Adas Korach, Korach and his assembly will eventually have a tikkun. That one day Adas Korach will be rectified, they'll be lifted up from their place of lowliness. Rabbi Eliezer says that Adas Korach will one day be rectified. They'll have a tikkun, as it says, as Chana says in her prophetic tefillah, Morid Sha'ol V'Ya'al. There are those who are going to descend to the depths, Korach and his assembly, V'Ya'al, but eventually they're going to come back up. Says the Rechaim HaKadosh, that's true with everyone of Adas Korach, with the exception of Dasan Vavir. She'elu Avdu Tikvasam. These two are completely lost. Dasan, Das Nun, forget it. She'iver Atzom and Achuva, Aviram. She'kulan Anaf HaKlipa. That they're entirely rooted in negativity. They have nothing to offer Klal Yisrael. Kein Yavdu Kol Oyvei Hashem. And so it should happen to all of the enemies of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and His people. Morish Shal Ve'yal. Hashem Meimis U'Mechaye. The Pasuk in Shmuel Aleph. Hashem kills and Hashem gives life. There are some who are going to fall very far, but eventually they're going to come back up. Says the Rechaim HaKadosh, it's not true. It's true about everyone except for Dasan Vavirim, that they're beyond the hope of any tikkun. And I think if you just look in those psukim over there, in Bamidbar Perek Tes Zayin, I'll bring a little proof from the words of Dasan Vavirim themselves to this Yisod of the Rechaim HaKadosh. Because when Moshe Rabbeinu calls Dasan Vavirim to appear before him, what's the response in two words? Lo na'aleh. We're not going up. We're not going to appear before you, Moshe Rabbeinu. And it's foreshadowing, I think. It's foreshadowing their fate. Lo nala, you don't want to come up before Moshe Rabbeinu. So too, Morid Sha'ol V'yal, those who descend to the depths and rise back up. Those who will eventually have a tikkun despite all their mistakes. You're going to be excluded from such a group. And yet, even about Dasan V'Aviram, we find an unbelievable chazal. The Ber Mayim Chaim, Rav Chaim Chernovitzer, in Parshas B'Shalach and Parshas Korach, quotes a chazal. He brings proofs to this idea as well. He doesn't say exactly where this chazal is found. But he says, Dasan V'Aviram was decided to remain by Paro. In those final moments, as Klal Yisrael escaped from Mitzrayim, suddenly they had a change of heart. There was something in their Yiddish hearts that was pulling them. They said, we also want to have a sheiches to Klal Yisrael. And we also want to leave behind that world of physical and spiritual klipa of Mitzrayim. And we want to go free. And at the last minute, they ran away from Paro. They must have heard Kriyas Yamsuf was happening. They left Mitzrayim and they raced off to the Yam, trying to join Klal Yisrael at the last minute. So you can imagine their disappointment when they got to the Yam, just as the waters were crashing back down. They missed it. They missed Kriyas Yamsuf. They showed up a second too late. The waters crashed back down in their plates. And like the guy in Vitebsk, who found himself in the water with no hope, those two individuals, Dasan and Vavirim, found themselves also standing on the shore, standing by the Yam, looking out at the dead Egyptian soldiers, and realizing, that's it. Our choice was made. And there's nothing we could do to change it. And there's a part of us that doesn't even care. There's a part of us that feels that Dasan and Vavirim finally got what they deserved. They lived up to their names. They got the punishment that they deserved. But listen to the words of Chazal. This is what the Ber Mayim Chaim brings. Chazal say that despite the fact that they saw the waters crashing down, and they saw that everything was lost, and there was no hope, and they'd blown their opportunity, the opportunity of a lifetime to escape from Mitzrayim. Listen to what Chazal say. It'll blow your mind. Listen to this. Amazing. Dasan Aviram ran towards the Yam, and Chazal say that the Yam split a second time for Dasan V'Aviram alone. Chazal say that there was a second personal Kriyas Yamsuf for Dasan V'Aviram. These two Jews, who nearly destroyed the Gaol Rishon and the Gaol Achron, Moshe Rabbeinu. These two Jews, who in the future are going to cause so much sorrows for Klal Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that. And Klal Yisrael already know that. And yet because of that awesome desire to do tshuva, in a sincere moment of wanting to be part of this team, to be part of Klal Yisrael, to be part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu recognized the depth of that feeling. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu split the Yam for them. Because the message is that regardless of where a Jew was a second before, when he decides, this is my moment to change, that from this point on, I'm going to be a different person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to make personal Kriyas Yamsuf. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to do anything it takes to get us to the right side, so to speak, of that river. I was in the hospital about 6 weeks ago, and I was learning to say for Shmuel Yitzchak from Rav Yitzchak of Vorki, and he has an unbelievable vart in this week's Parsha. Parsha in itself. Pasuk says, Ha'idosi b'chem ha'yomas ha'shamayim v'sa'aretz, ha'chaim v'amavis, Nasati lefanecha, bracha v'aklala. There's life, there's death, there's blessing, there's curse. Uvacharta b'chaim. Famous words in the Torah. Uvacharta b'chaim, choose life. Lemantichya atav ezarecha. So that you and your descendants will live. Says Rav Yitzchak Vorker, an amazing yesod in tshuva. Im echad tov b'halcho b'derech. Imagine a person is walking, and he comes to a split, a fork in the road, and he chooses a particular path, and it's the wrong path. A love lachzer on makum shamei chel lechas b'tos. So if he wants to get back to that point in the highway where he can make the right choice, where he can go right as opposed to left. So he needs to retrace his steps. He needs to make up all that time. He needs to, Waze or whoever is recalculating, he goes back and he retraces his steps back to that point where he made that wrong choice. And only from then can he travel on in the right direction. But says Rav Yitzchak Vorky, it's not true when it comes to Torah. When it comes to Torah, a Jew doesn't have to retrace his steps. I don't have to figure out, how am I going to fix everything that I did wrong for the last 33 years of my life? Before I decide, now, like the Rebbe Bezushan, now, Rebbe Shalom, now I'm going to get serious. This year, but I told you last year I'm going to get, but this year I'm really going to be serious. A Jew doesn't have to retrace his steps. B'chol makom sham nimtza yachol hu livchor b'derech ha-chayim, u'la'aschum yo'osa rega b'avodas Hashem Yisbarach. Says Rebbe Yitzchak Vorky, that's what it means of achart v'chayim. From wherever you are, wherever you find yourself at that particular moment, in that moment, if you decide, from this point forward, I want to choose life, I want to choose the path of Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu immediately sets you on that path. And a person can immediately return to the Torah, and immediately return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He doesn't have to retrace all of the missteps that he made along the way. And again, this is the lesson of Dasan Vavira. Two individuals who decided in a single moment that despite their past, and despite what they know is going to be their future, they decided in a single moment, we want to be part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kindness. We want to be part of our people. We want to be part of that that chevra of individuals who stand at our Sinai together, united as one. Gish echad b'levach. We want to be a part of that. And in that moment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a personal Kriyas Yamsuf for those individuals. I want to add, if we can just go one step deeper in this sugya. It's a remarkable sugya, and there's a lot more to it. But I want to add something from the realm of Remez. From the realm of Remez, on this sugya of Dasan Vavirim. It was tremendous Hashkacha Pratis. Just this past Wednesday, I came across a vart from the Rebbe of Jikov, Rebbe Eliezer Jikover. Rebbe Eliezer Jikover passed away in 1860. He was one of the sons of the Rupshitzer, one of the many great sons of the Rupshitzer who developed and formed his own Hasidic dynasty. There's a small sefer of his teachings called Domestic Eliezer, on Chumash and Nach, very small sefer. And he has exactly one vart on Sefer Shmuel, the entire Sefer Shmuel Aleph, Shmuel Beis. He has one vart in Shmuel. It's in Shmuel Aleph. And it's on the pasuk that we saw earlier. The pasuk that the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, no less of an authority than the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, told us that despite the fact that Rebbe Eliezer tells us in the Gemara that Adas Korach is going to have a tikkun, but there's an exception to that rule. When the pasuk in Shmuel Aleph says, Morid Sha'ol V'yal, that many will descend to the depths and many will rise, but there are two, says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, who are not zochet to such a thing, Dasan V'aviram. Says Rebbe Eliezer Jikover, he says, he doesn't quote the Rechaim HaKadosh, but he says, I know that even Dasan Vavirim will have their tikkun. And he brings an amazing remez. He says, if you look at those words in Shmuel Aleph, again, from the prophetic tefillah of Chana, Morid Sha'ol V'yal. He says, the gematria of the words Morid Sha'ol V'yal is exactly gematria Dasan Vavirim, 713. How could you say that Dasan Vavirim are beyond tikkun? That such lowly Jews, for all their bad choices, are beyond tikkun? When the very words that Rabbi Eliezer brings in the Gemara Sanhedrin, Morid Sha'ol V'yal, is begamatria, the very names, the deeper part of their essence, beyond what the Gemara tells us about their names, Dasan Vavirim is begamatria, Morid Sha'ol V'yal. It's true, they're going to fall very far, but they're going to rise up once again. And about a year and a half ago, when I first entered into learning about the sugi of Dasan Vavirim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also gave me a remez that I've been waiting a long time to share with you. And I'll add to what the Jikover said. Morid Sha'ol V'yal is the gematria of Dasan Vavirim, 713. That number should be ringing in our mind tonight. Because 713 is exactly the gematria of the word tshuva. Because the very essence of the whole sugi of tshuva is the story, is the lives of Dasan Vavirim. That no matter how low a Jew has fallen, no matter how many times he's messed up, no matter how many times his boat has been overturned, because of his own bad choices, HaKadosh Baruch Hu reaches out to that individual. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu believes in his own koach, the koach that he created, a koach that existed before the world itself, the koach of tshuva, to lift a person up. As we just read this Shabbos, Yimien yidachacha b'kzei ha-shamayim. A Jew could be as far away as the edge of the heavens. Misham yikabetzcha Hashem Elokecha, u'misham yikachecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will gather you from that place. Because regardless of our perception, and it's all our perception, regardless of how we imagine tshuva to work, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it's a million times deeper than that. It's endlessly deep. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinitely willing to work with us to bring us back. A certain Baal Tshuva came to the Rizhner, the Halig Rebbe Yisrael of Rizhin, and he was crying. And he said, Rebbe, year after year, I've been trying to do Tshuva, and I just messed up again. I just did an Aveira again. And I feel this is pointless. Why am I trying? I'm an old man. And I keep stumbling in the same mistakes, year after year. And the Rebbe of Rizhin said an amazing thing. Take this with you into these days. The Rebbe of Rizhin said, just as it's the minhag of people to continue to do Aveiras, it's the minhag of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to continue forgiving Klal Yisrael. Just as it's our minhag. We have a minhag. It's a time of minhagim. The apple and the honey, many minhagim. Just as there's many minhagim. And one of the minhagim of Klal Yisrael, unfortunately, throughout our history, is a minhag to do averos time and time again. HaKadosh Baruch Hu also has his minhagim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a minhag to forgive Klal Yisrael no matter how many times they messed up. And I want to just go one step further to the end of the Yemei Ratzon. Because Amir Tashem will have this chus not too long from now to come to Yom Kippur. And Yom Kippur be Tzumah Shayom, in the height of the day, we read Sefer Yonah. Why do we read Sefer Yonah? So you'll tell me. Because it's a beautiful story of tshuva. Yonah is not just any story of tshuva. Yonah is a story of tshuva from a place of utter destruction. Yonah is a story of tshuva from a place way beyond hope. Rav David Cohen, Shlita, from Brooklyn, author of many, many Sfarim, so he has a series on Nach called the Oel David. And in the fifth volume of the Oel David on Nach, he writes on page 67 and 68, a beautiful insight in Sefer Yonah. In the third parak of Yonah, what happened? Yonah has just been spit out of the belly of the fish. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Yonah a second time and he says, okay, now I really want you to go to Nineveh. And I want you to call them to tshuva. And Yonah sets out in the third parak of Sefer Yonah. Vayachel Yonah levo ba'ir, mahalach yom echad, vayikra vayomer odar barim yom. In 40 days from now, v'ninveh na'apachas. And Nineveh is going to be overturned. And Rav David Cohen says, with his great bakiyas, he says that word na'apachas, that word for overturn should resonate with us. Where else do we find that in the Torah? In Bereishis Perek Yud Tes, when it talks about the city of Sodom, time and time again it uses the Lashonos of hafach, the afoch, of overturning, of things being flipped on their head. Says Rav David Cohen, you know what the Metzias of Nineveh was? You know what Yonah was saying to the people of Nineveh? Says Rav David Cohen, v'yesh b'zeh chidush atzum. If we look carefully at the story of Nineveh, it's not any story of tshuva. There's an awesome, awesome chiddush into the koach of tshuva. Dinei biru mefarshim shegia onish kazel is stone. Why do we find this lashon of v'neapach, of a yapach, by stone time and time again? Because the lashon of being overturned means that it's all lost. That the boat is sunk. That there's nothing you can do at that point. The people of Nineveh were so corrupted, they had lost all sense of right and wrong. Just like in stone, if a person was a Baal Chesed, you invited someone into your home, that was seen as a terrible crime. And in such a case, when a person loses their conscience, when a person feels the way, there's no guilt. And at that point, the only thing you can do is destroy such a city. And therefore, just like Sodom is identified by the Tosefta as an Ir HaNidachas, as a city that must be utterly destroyed, so too Nineveh had the same status. So the Navi comes, Yonah, Ben Amittai comes to the city of Nineveh, and he says, I'm here to tell you you should do tshuva, but you should understand your metzias, that essentially you've already been destroyed. Nineveh na'apachas. It's all lost already. They had the same sins of theft, like stone. And yet you go on in the story and you see that somehow, after that place of total upheaval, Nineveh found a way to overturn themselves, to transform themselves. This is an awesome, says Rav David Cohen, this is an awesome insight into the Mahalach of Tshuva, into the process of Tshuva, into just how far and how deep Tshuva goes. And if it's true about the city of Nineveh, Halachas Kama V'Kama, every single one of us has to believe with all our heart and all our soul that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no matter how broken we seem, no matter how disappointed we are in ourselves, no matter how many times we've come through this process and we've become cynical and we've become scornful of the ability to change, we have to believe with all our heart that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is interested in His children and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the constant in our lives. The very end of the Navi, Malachi Perek Gimel, Ki Ani Hashem Lo Shanisi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Klai, so I will never change. I am HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I will always be HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'atem b'nei Yaakov lo chalisem. And you are my children, and that will always be. That's also a constant. My love for you is a constant. The fact that I will never destroy you is a constant. To believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the constant in our lives. Erev Shabbos was the yahrzeit of the Chafetz Chaim. It's kedai as we come to the last few minutes before Slichos to be ma'or the schus of the Chafetz Chaim. Zechasad of HaKadosh Levracha. And I'm sure many of us have heard about the famous Shabbos there of Shimon Schwab, spent by the Chafetz Chaim in 1930. Mamash, the end of the Chafetz Chaim's life. Chafetz Chaim was an old man, and Shimon Schwab was a young bacher, and he spent a Shabbos. He had the schus of spending a Shabbos with the Chafetz Chaim. And sprinkled throughout his Mayan Beis HaShoeva, Rav Schwab writes about the insights, the Chidushei Torah, and some of the questions the Chafetz Chaim asked him that Shabbos. In Parshas Achrei Mos, Rav Schwab says that the Chafetz Chaim was sitting with him at one point, and he said to Rav Schwab, who was a young bacher, He says, when you get called to the Torah, and you utter the words, V'chaye olam nata b'socheinu, what's your kavana? Imagine, you're staying with the Chavetz Chaim a few years before he passes away. The Chavetz Chaim is asking you, what's your kavana? What deep kavanas do you have? And you get called to the Torah, V'chaye olam nata b'socheinu. And Rashab writes, in his Mayan Beis Shreva, Parshas Achrim, he says, I was too scared to respond. I had some thoughts, but I couldn't even open my mouth in front of the Chavetz Chaim, the Helik Chavetz Chaim. So the Chavetz Chaim answered his own question. And the Chavetz Chaim said, can I tell you what it means? He says to Rashab, where are you going to be in 100 years from now? In 100 years from now, where are you going to be? So he says, you're going to be mitin Ribbono Shel Olam. You're going to be with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And where are you going to be 500 years from now? You're going to be with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And where are you going to be 5,000 years from now? Says the Chavetz Chaim, you're going to be with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the Chavetz Chaim turned to Rashab and he said, as he raised his voice, where are you going to be 5 million years from now? Where are you going to be 5 million years from now? You're going to be with the Ribbono Shel Olam. So says the Chavetz Chaim, now you understand what Chaye Olam means. Chaye Olam means forever and forever. Chaye Olam means that eternal, that constant, that V'ani Hashem lo shanisi. I am a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and I'm never going to change. The constant in our lives, the Chatam of our lives are not the constant of our lives. The mistakes of our lives are not the constant in our lives. Says the Chavetz Chaim, Chaye Olam, our eternal connection to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, nata b'socheinu. You know where that can be found right now? Right here inside each and every one of us. Nata b'socheinu. It's implanted deep inside of every one of us. And it's our job to attach ourselves deeply to that. Not chas v'shalom to our mistakes, not to all of the things that we've done wrong, but to believe in our infinite connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that deep, endless connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is true forever, and is equally true right in this very moment. So let's wrap up with the words of the Rambam. Halacha in Hilchos Teshuva, maybe the most important halacha in all of Hilchos Teshuva. A lot of discussion at the beginning of Hilchos Teshuva, the Rambam, a big discussion. Does the Rambam hold Teshuva to be a mitzvah? Is Teshuva a mitzvah? Do we show him count it as a mitzvah? The Rambam seems to say, Vidui is the mitzvah, not so much Teshuva. And everyone's trying to figure out, why does the Rambam not count Teshuva as a mitzvah? So some point to a Rambam in the 7th parak of Hilchos Teshuva for the answer. Kol ha-Neviim kulan tzivu ala Teshuva. All of the Neviim have been screaming for generations and generations. All of the Tzaddikim throughout the generations have informed us about Teshuva. V'ein Yisrael negalin ela b'Teshuva. And our only ticket to Geula is Teshuva. V'kvar hivticha Torah shesof Yisrael lasos Teshuva b'sof galusa. But if you're nervous, like the guy in Vitebsk who's drowning in the water, how are you going to pick yourself up? How are you going to start again? How am I going to attach myself to the Tekiyos de Mu'umad when I've been knocked down so many times? Remind yourself, says the Rambam, Kvar Yivticha HaTorah, the Torah has promised us. It's a guarantee of the Torah. It's a Metzias of Klal Yisrael. It's Ani Hashem Lo Shanisi. It's the constant in our lives. That Klal Yisrael are Vada going to do Tshuva Umiyarei Negalim. Shenemar V'haya Ki Yavo Elecha Kol Advarim V'Gomer V'Shavtar Hashem Elokecha V'Shav Hashem Elokecha V'Gomer. The constant in our lives. The promise of Tshuva. Ramban writes in this week's Parsha, it's a promise, but it's also a mitzvah. How could it be both? The answer is we have to believe in our ability to do tshuva. That it's possible for us to do tshuva. That it's possible for us to attach ourselves to this promise that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made us long ago. To believe with wholehearted commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we will do tshuva. The Klal Yisrael will be redeemed through their tshuva. And I want to leave you with a piece of news from recent weeks. And I quote, a letter written by a Maine school teacher in 1931 to her mother 150 miles away has finally been delivered 83 years later. 23-year-old Miriam McMichael sent a 9-page letter from Holton to Delana McMichael in Pittsfield. Both women have since died. The letter was lost and only recently found in the Pittsfield post office. Postal worker Michelle Rowell found it and tells the Morning Sentinel she knew it was old because of the 2-cent stamp. 83 years ago. The postmaster and the town officials tracked down the family, and the letter is now in the hands of 69-year-old Ann McMichael of Cornville, Miriam's niece and Delana's granddaughter. The spelling of the family name has changed, in case anyone's listening. McMichael, MacMichael. MacMichael says the irony is, listen to this, that the writer apologized for not writing sooner. The writer apologized for not writing sooner, 83 years later. Ribbono Shel Olam, we're going to keep sending our letters. We're going to keep sending our tefillos to you. And we know that if it hasn't got there yet, eventually it's going to get there. That we're going to find a way to pick ourselves up when it hurts. From that position of the Tekiyos de Miyushav to the Tekiyos de Mu'umad. To right side up our boat once again. To believe that like, Dasan Va'avirim, no Jew is beyond Tikkun. And Amir Tashem, if we have the courage to stand up strong. To stand together in Tefillah and in Tshuva. And to believe in the promise that the Rambam gives us from the Torah. From many years ago. Amir Tashem will all be Zocha to Aksiva V'chassimatov. Good luck.